What's your full name?
Just Mildred Queen Brew.
Ah. Are you aware you're being recorded?
Yes.
Well, what are your ties to the logging industry?
Well, when I was about 3 years old, my dad went to the state of Washington to log. And I really don't remember him leaving at all, but I do remember him coming back. And I can remember him coming back from out there. And from then on, all my life, he talked about Washington. And it was just a place that I mean, you know, I knew as much about the state of Washington as I did about North Carolina, because Daddy, when he went out there, he just fell in love. He went out there in 1946, and so he stayed. He only stayed about a year, but he fell in love with it. And so I grew up hearing about Lyman, about Cedro Woolley, about concrete, Darrington, and those were just places that I just was, I mean, I felt familiar with all my life. And Daddy always wanted to go back, and he always planned to take us out there, but we never did make it when we were growing up. And then when I was about 9 or 10 years old, my oldest brother, Ernest, went to the state of Washington. And my daddy went with my uncle, his sister's husband, Uncle Luther Inslee, and Daddy, and Uncle Bob, his half brother, Uncle Bob Shelton, and L.G. Queen all went to, and they went in an old log truck. They drove an old log truck and went to the state of Washington.
All the way to Washington.
All the way to Washington in a log truck. But when I was in school, when we were growing up in school, there were so many families that left here and went. And I remember, I remember the girl, she was a little older than I was, and they were Parkers. And they went in a log truck. They loaded up their whole family and drove in a log truck to the state of Washington. And Daddy sent back pictures and postcards, and I'm sure you've seen it. And then when I did go to the state of Washington, years and years later, I went through that same, or seen that same tree that they had the picture of, that had the, where you could drive through it. It was a huge tree, but I can't remember exactly where it was in Washington.
Hmm.
But I should have looked that up for you.
Oh, no.
But anyway, so Daddy was the first ties, and my uncles. Then Uncle, a year later, Uncle Claude, which was Dot's dad, he went to the state of Washington with Daddy's sister, Aunt Mary Jane Inslee, because Daddy and Uncle Luther Inslee and Uncle Bob and them had already went out there, and they were out there. So she went, and she had four children. And Uncle Claude went to help her to take the kids out. And they went on the train. They rode the train out there. And then years later, my grandma went out there. My dad's mom went out there. And then, like I said, there was just always people leaving here and going out there. So it was just a place that we always knew about. And then, of course, they would write back. They would write letters. And then in 1955. Now, I may be off on this a little bit. It was either 55 or 57 that Ernest went out there, my oldest brother. Uh-huh. And he went to log. And he logged. He worked in the concrete for a while, but then he went into the logging. And I can't remember the name of the company he logged for. But then he met his wife out there and raised his family. So when, then it was in 1969, I believe it was. Now, I may be off on these dates. But somewhere along there, my mom and dad got to go out there and stay a month with my brother. And he, Ernest, went out there, and he logged at first, and then he He went into the dairy business, and he run owned his own dairy farm, and he had cattle and all that. And then sometime in the late 70s or the 80s, he went into the just the cattle business. Mm-hmm. He was the one that helped start the bluegrass music.
Was he really?
I was going to bring you that piece mm-hmm. today about him. It was Queen's Bluegrass, and that was mm-hmm. the name of it. You could look it up on the, mm-hmm. the internet. It's still there. Mm-hmm. Even though he's gone, it's still there. And they made... tapes and records and stuff and they traveled all over. They went up into Canada and up into Alaska and Canada and I don't know where and all that they traveled. And he always did the music. The music festival in Darrington, Washington, every fall. They always, July. They always had that in July. And then they always had the music festival. So he was real big into the music industry out there. And the first time that he came back here was, I think it was 19... Because he went out there, I'm pretty sure he went out there in 55. And he came back in about 57, because he'd been out there about 2 years. And he had married. And he brought his wife back. And then he traveled back many times, back and forth. So, you want to stop it a minute? I don't know... Do you need to just ask me some questions?
I guess.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Have you made any trips out there to Washington yourself?
Oh, yes, I have.
What kind of similarities do you notice between Western North Carolina and there?
Well, the first time I went to the state of Washington was in 1986. And me and my two sisters, Lou and Moselle, flew out there. We had lost our mom in January, and we flew out there in June. And one of the first things that struck me was the similarities up back here, because I could not get over that it looked so much. It was flatter, and the mountains were rounder, and that was one of the things that surprised me. But it reminded me so much, and when we went to visit. We had as much family out there as we do back here.
Really?
And because we had, my brother, mm-hmm. and then we had cousins and uncles and aunts. And the very first one in my family that went out there was my mama's brother, which was Uncle Early Prince. And him and his wife went out there. And I can remember him coming back here the first time I ever remember seeing him. I was about 8 years old. And he came back here. And then, of course, like I said, people were just always coming and going. So it always just, when I went out there, it was just like going home. It really was, because we had so much family out there. Uh-huh. And it looks so much like back here.
It really does. Dot showed me a book she had made of pictures from there, and even the downtown looks similar
downtown,
to Selma.
Cedro Woolley looks so much like Selma down here. I felt just like being at home. I was not lonesome out there. Then that was in 86. We went out there in June of 86, and then we went back out there. I've been out there four times. I flew out there three times, and then
I just want to make sure it was still on. Okay.
We flew out there three times, then me and my brother and my sisters and my sister-in-law went out there. And we visited and exchanged old pictures, you know, and I got to find a lot of the old pictures of our family members that we didn't have. We exchanged a lot of pictures, made a lot of pictures. And then the last time I went out there was in about 2005, I guess it was. And we went out there and we drove. We drove all the way across.
Oh, goodness.
My two brothers and their wives and me and my sister, one of my sisters, Moselle, we drove out there. And that was an experience. I loved that, driving all the way out there and back. So, but it really was. It was a lot. It is so much like home out there. Have you ever been?
Mm-mm. I've seen pictures.
I never thought of her. I would have brought a lot of pictures. I never thought about that.
If you want to help us out.
Okay.
We'll get them.
What kind of effects did it have on the community at home, having so many people away?
Well, now that was hard because I can remember the year that my daddy was gone. I don't actually remember the day he left, but I do remember him being gone. And I remember it was really cold that winter and really hard. And then, I've heard my brothers tell about it. They helped Mommy to make a garden and do the canning. Because if they hadn't, I mean, you know, we probably wouldn't have made it through the winter because it was really hard winters. And back then, people raised. This was in the 40s.
Yeah.
So people raised everything that they, and put up everything that they ate. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to the store much back then. There wasn't a lot of stores. And I can remember Mommy and them going to the store about once a month. So, I mean, you know, they just went to get coffee and sugar and flour and stuff like that. But other than that, you raised everything you ate. So, it, and I can remember a lot of the men were gone. See, my daddy and my uncle, his sister that lived right across from us, of course, that was Uncle Luther, and that's the one Daddy had went with. And then on down below us, then Anosi, Uncle Bob's wife. And then, of course, a year later, Uncle Claude left. And there wasn't a lot of men left in the community, in that little section that we lived in there, because they were going to the state of Washington. So, I can only imagine, I would say, though, that the women really had a pretty hard time.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
Yeah, Dot was talking about that that time her dad went out, I think it was a summer season, and how hard it was on them.
Yeah, my daddy went in the spring because my brother was talking about it, and then I heard them talk about it growing up. They had to do the plowing, and see, he was only about 12 or 14. My oldest brother was 16 years old, and so my other brother next to him was about 14. Mm-hmm. So they had to do all, and then there was no tractors, so it was plowed by horse and plow, and you had to plant everything, and you had to hoe everything. And that's the reason, as we grew up, when we was 5 years old, you was out working in the garden. That was just part of growing up. You helped in everything. You helped.
My papa told me all about that.
I never milked cows. My sisters, that was my sister's job. But the one thing I did have to do, I had to hold the cow's tail. While my sister milked, because the cow would flap her tail, and it always hit her in the face, and she didn't like that. And so, but she did the milking, but you just, from a time that you could remember, you worked.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a way of life.
Not like now.
Not like now.
Not like now.
Well, you got to think about it, too. There was no telephones.
Mm-mm.
There was no cars. There was only one man on that creek that I remember that had a vehicle. My daddy told me one time that his his dad was the first one that had a vehicle on, my daddy's dad had a vehicle on that whole John's Creek. It's called John's Creek. Up in there, it's up on Candy Fork. And that's where I was born and raised, up on Candy Fork.
That's near you campus, kind
of. Okay, you go out of campus and go
Is that where the Junaluska Rock is?
Judicola.
Yeah, that one. Yes. I can't say it right.
Okay, well, that's Candy Fork. That's called Candy Fork.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I know where that's at.
Okay, you go up to, when you go on up past the Judicola Rock, you come to a little church house. Well, it used to be a church house, and it was the Methodist church, and my grandpa helped to build that church, and they sold it, and it's a house now, and that just breaks
exactly
my heart because
that
my grandpa helped us build that church.
Every time I see it, I think it's so odd.
It's so
a
odd
house.
Well, then the John's Creek Church sits on back here, and that's the one you can't see. But now that was the old schoolhouse that my mom and daddy before it's been rebuilt, but that was the old schoolhouse before my mom and daddy went to school in when they were growing up. And that little fork of the road that you go up to there is called John's Creek.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You'll have to go up in there sometime.
I will. I'll go exploring.
How did your family hear about the logging in Washington and decide to leave?
Now, that I'm not for sure because there were just so many people. They left to go out there because the logging industry here was just about over with. I mean, you know, the logging was, because that's all my daddy had ever done was farm and log. And all my uncles and all of them, that's all they'd ever done. So I'm sure they just heard about it apparently through somebody that had maybe went out there and come back or somebody from out there had come back here and was telling them about it. And I know, like I said, I can remember there was so many families in school while I was growing up that some of your best friends would just leave and be gone and you'd never get to see them no more. I know one of my best friends, her and her mama, left going, and it just broke my heart because we were in about the fifth grade, and they left to going out there, and see, she never came back. But then years and years later, she came back, and like I said, when I went out there, then when we went out there, she always came to my brother's house to visit because we would always get to see each other.
Aww.
But That happens a lot too. I mean, you know, but they went there to work, to have a better life, because there wasn't a lot here to do. There wasn't no places to work much.
What logging industry did he work for here in Jackson County? Do you know?
They just mostly cut logs sometimes off of their own land. And sold them because most people back then had huge tracts of land, and so they would just cut logs off of their own land and sell them. And if they didn't have and there was very few, and that's what my uncle Luther Inslee did. See, he was the only one in the neighborhood that had a log truck. So he would haul the logs, you know, for the men that made the cut the logs and haul them. That's how come a lot of places was cleared back here. The lands was cleared because they cleared them by cutting the logs and making I remember they used to they hauled the logs and then they would make tan bark, and that's where you peeled the trees, you know, to and that was something that I can remember, and I remember even after my daddy come back here. He still, that's what he did. He logged, and he would peel tan bark, and they was just all different types. People cut and made stakes, fence rails, but they call them stakes. And even after me and my husband got married, he did that. when he wasn't working at different places, that's what he did.
Do you know what company your family worked for in Washington State?
As a matter of fact, I read that yesterday because I was reading through, and I don't. But it was. I'll have to call you back and give you that information. Because I do have it. I just, and like I said, I laid out some stuff on the couch to bring, and it's laying on my couch right now. I will get back with you on that, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, my brother, see, he went like, what, 10 or 11 years later mm-hmm. than my dad did,
yeah.
And I believe they work for the same logging company, okay. If I'm not mistaken. Hmm,
that's interesting. Well, I can't think of any more questions for you. You touched on all of them. That's perfect.
Do you have anything else you want to tell us about Washington?
No, except that it is, it's a place that I want to go back. And like I said, my daddy fell in love with it. He never, and I think all my uncles did that went out there and then came back. I know Uncle Claude did. Mm-hmm. He always wanted to go back. My grandma, their mother, mm-hmm. she went out there. Of course, she had children out there. She had her daughter, mm-hmm. Which was St. Mary Jane, mm-hmm. Ensley. She was out there, and of course, they raised their whole family out there. So, like I said, I've got so many family out there now. I've got and all of Ernest's kids and everything. So I'd love to go back.
And they're all still out there?
He's got a son, Dale, that was in the Air Force. And he's involved off to Georgia right now.
Mm.
But he owns a place out there because he will get the home place.
Oh.
And then Lana, their oldest daughter, got killed with her little grandson, or Ernest's little grandson. But now her son, Jimmy, he owns a place. He lives in Cedro Woolley. And then they have a daughter, Loretta, lives out there, and then she's got two daughters that lives out there. So we have a lot of family out there. And then cousins, aunts, uncles, and just so many. And a lot of the people that the Silver Harrow has in the obituaries, a lot. The people, when anybody passes away out there, they put it in the paper out there, but they also put it in the paper back here. Because
they have ties both places.
Both places. And both places actually seem like home.
Really?
It really does, because... like I said, growing up, my daddy talked about it so much that I just felt like mm-hmm. and I always knew I would go. I always felt that I would go. Mm-hmm. And so I was so happy when we did get to go out there the first time. Mm-hmm. My younger brother went out there and stayed a year with my brother, and I almost went out there 1 year, but I was still in school, and I went to stay with my sister when she had her first child, so I never made it out there when I was little, so but it still just seems like a place that's home. Mm-hmm. But I think back here, even though now my brother lived out there for 50-some years before he passed away. Mm-hmm. And because he was 82, he went out there when he was, I think he was 17 years old, and he passed away when he was 82. So he, that was home. But then back here was home. And he always sung and sung songs about home back here.
Mm-hmm.
So he was... Mm-hmm. Two places was home to him. So, that's about all.
Perfect.